It's not often you ring somebody about a quiet time of year and how meaningful that is, but I thought it was actually pertinent in the case of Blaze Aid. It is one of the quietest time, well, in years for the Farm Aid Organisation, which helps farmers and others get back on their feet after devastation of natural disasters, usually by pulling down and putting up fences, but it has also become so much more than that. Kevin Butler is the president of Blaze Aid and can join us now on the line. Kevin, welcome back to the Country Hour.
Oh, thank you, Warwick, and good afternoon.
I said it's usually odd we ring someone and say, it's quiet, tell us all about it. But, Kevin,
well,
it's quiet.
You're quite right. You're quite right, Warwick. I pinch myself every morning because the phone calls have gone down from about 150 a day down to almost zero. We only have three Blaze Aid bases operating in Australia. That's a casino in New South Wales, up near the border in Wauchope and Cobargo. And they've been running since, well, the end of the Black Summer Fire. So they're going, pushing on towards 2 years now that we've been fencing in that country. So we're down from 43 bases from the peak of it down to three. So it's happy days.
That's incredible. 43 was the peak. So I'd imagine that would have been during, well, just after the Black Summer bushfires, was it?
That was exactly, yeah, straight after the Black Summer. Well, the Black Summer fires really started for us in about August, September at Tenderfield. And then they were sort of finally out, oh, look, I think around about mid, late February, maybe early March. But we were sort of ramping up bases from, I think Lexton was the first one near Ballarat. There was a fire there. I think we started that one in maybe late November, early December. Yeah, well, that's when the fire started. I think we just between Christmas and New Year, we started that base, but, you know, quickly ramped up to year 43. And I remember we had only 100 combat ready trailers, and with the wonderful donations, we ramped up to 234. Volunteers took them all over Australia virtually. It's been very wet where we are, and certainly the forests are very damp. In the back of my mind, I mean, I've got a lot of growth on my property, and I think there's going to be a lot of grassland fires this year. So it's going to be up to all of us to make sure they don't get going, take a hold.
And obviously we realise fire season never really goes away. You can have quieter ones, but somewhere in Australia is always experiencing something. Does the break, though, the fact that you got down to now only three camps that are going, and those camps have been going for 2 years, probably as a signal of the devastation those communities felt during those fires. But does it give a chance for your volunteers and even the people who run the organisation, like yourself and your family members, to just have a break?
Yeah, that's right, because, you know, Blaze Aid was sort of like a tiger that I grabbed by the tail and couldn't let it go. And, you know, that I love farming dearly, love my farm, love my sheep, and it sort of takes you away from what you're supposed to focus on. But fortuitously, we've sort of built up to a massive, seamless, pretty happy organisation. Rhonda and I have been able to devolve the duties of CEO to our daughter, Melissa, who is retired from teaching. And she was virtually brought up fencing on the farm. She's fenced so much, so she knows quite a lot, and her organisational skills are fabulous. So it's great that she and Debbie in the office virtually are running Blaze Aid during the meantime, because there's a lot of sort of administrative matters that need to be adhered to, and inventories and everything else. We've got our main bases for the storage of our equipment now at Coro in New South Wales, which I think has got around about 35, 40 trailers and more coming down. And then Morwell in Victoria and in South Australia, not far from Lodafell, I can't remember the place, but it's the big Viterra grain sheds. So volunteers are going through a lot of the equipment there and make sure it's all working well.
And you've also updated your policies too, haven't you, Kevin?
Ones. Look, we went out on a limb a bit. Look, most farmers hearing this, they've got animals, vaccinate their animals. And I've been brought up with, you know, all of us have seen, you know, lambs, beautiful lambs dead with pulpy kidney. And look, I had Yoni's disease there 10, 20, 30 years ago. Well, the salvation for me has been vaccination. So the same parallel applies with COVID. And for me, it was a no-brainer. And in setting a policy that unless you're double vaccinated as a volunteer and unless you're double vaccinated as a farmer, we're not going onto your property to help you. And the reason is that Kevin and B in Ward 9 with litigation cases because I haven't created a safe workplace for not only farmers but also volunteers. So we've mandated that the second jab must be in shoulders by the 1st of January. And admittedly, we did get a lot of criticism, but, I think there were 300 criticisms, I think mainly from anti-vaxxers. But people have got a right to complain and go on, but we just can't risk people's safety at all.
I'd imagine, though, that still must be tough for a charitable organisation to make a call on something like that where no matter what, you're going to get some blowback.
Look, for me, it wasn't tough, but for others it was. And I know there was a chap who was in his 70s or 80s, who'd probably been with us for 10 years, and he was dead set against getting vaccinated. And, sadly, we just have to say, well, look, these are the rules, and this is for the whole of the public good. We respect your view, and we certainly welcome you back with open arms once you're double vaccinated. But I'm sorry, but we've got to do due diligence and treat everyone the way that we would like to be treated if we're in that situation. So, yeah, no brainer.
How are you feeling about this summer ahead, Kevin?
Oh, look. I don't know. There's a fabulous series on TV called Fires on the ABC. I don't know if listeners or yourself have been watching it, but I can only watch 5 minutes of it. I get so upset.
I can't watch much of it either, Kevin. Yeah.
Thousands of people have lost. And look, with the summer fire season coming up, as I'm going around the farm, well, I'm fencing at the moment, and I think now if the fire comes over here, what will I do? Where will we be? And we've set up a local, what we call Blaze Alert Network of all our private firefighting units. So that's sort of, we'll go up to 20 kilometres to help neighbours or more. I refer back to the Streatham fires, probably before you were born, Warwick, but I was a young teacher at the time and it was a year just like this, 1977. It was, terrific growth of grass and, of course, up to 100 kilometre an hour winds and in high grass and 45 degree temperatures. And I think there was 100,000 sheep burnt to death. That was west of Ballarat. And I know that there is a memorial over there for the Streatham fires, but that one was uncontrollable. Now, that did not follow 4 years of drought. That was just a very high grass year. So, look, I just implore everyone who's got if you've got a four-wheel drive, you should also have a 600-litre unit on the back because you can be there at the fire ignition point within 5 to 15 minutes. And hopefully there's going to be a lot of your neighbours with you as well because the fires have got to be nailed quickly. We do everything, but, look, let's look at the fires up there at Dunedoo. That lightning struck a strainer post a fortnight before and it smouldered there, 14 days, and then it got going on a good day. And I mean, we were fencing there for 9 months. I mean, the chaos was just palpable, the tears, the drama. I just hope that all farmers have, got their insurance right. I'll be certainly moving my sheep very close to houses because I know that the helicopters will save your house. They mightn't save your sheep. So I've had the sort of the sheep in yards not far away. It'll be good. But I'll be moving sheep sort of in the early hours of the morning to sort of cultivated paddocks, that sort of thing, because, sheep are pretty irreplaceable these days. You're talking $400 and $500 a head. So, over $3,000, it's a lot of money.
And a good year at Kilmore East where you are?
Yeah, fabulous year. We've had the wettest year in 60 years. We're getting bogged still. Last week I was bogged. I mean, every week I've been getting bogged, even on the sides and the tops of hills. I'm actually driving in pine posts with the front end loader from a distance in the cab, and they're just driving straight into the ground. So it's sort of like our country is a bit like the southwest of Victoria around Cobden. I know it's they're fertilising with by helicopter at the moment because they just can't get through paddocks.
Yeah, some kind of season, really. Wettest in 60 years. That's amazing. Kevin Butler, thank you very much for joining us. And hopefully we haven't put the moz on you in terms of business from Blazo, but it is nice to hear that you've had a quiet period once in a while.
Yeah, no, it's great. But look, we'll be all refreshed for whatever happens. And we've got a lot of gear, a lot of help there, a lot of wonderful support all around the country. So it's a terrible time for farmers when they lose so much. I mean, I just dread what I would do if I lost. I mean, we've helped 11,000 farmers and I just wouldn't know, you know, where to start. It's just that we've all got to pitch in and work together and help those poor buggers that get burned out. And there will be people who will get burned out, but we've just got to muster up and help them as much as we can.
Thanks, Kevin.
Good on you, Warrie.
Kevin Butler, president of Blazaid, chatting to us there. Also, rural legend of the year with the ABC earlier in the year at the Farmer of the Year Awards as well. Kevin and Rhonda Butler both won that together.